I got in trouble on Friday night because we were talking about Bob Mumford and how long he's going to be staying here, and we're thrilled about him. That man had brought a smile to my heart for a long time. I said, Bob's the only one I've ever known. That's why I got in trouble. I said, he's the only one I've ever known that never has been able and has no possibility to wear out his welcome, because he's never been welcome anywhere I've ever taken him to. So, wow. That's terrible. That's just mean. What a week. Thinking back and I apologize about my voice today because, you know, those pollen, all those trees, yes sirree, it is beautiful out there, and we have all those little things going on, just cloud your head up. And so I'll be in the lower range here today in speaking. Palm Sunday, and Gay, thanks for that, so much for that palm outside there, just coming in and looking at that. As soon as you see that and you walk in, just brings a smile to your heart, because I know each and every one of you have heard the story of Palm Sunday. Matt kind of started into it a little bit about talking about how a Savior would come in, and Hosanna, Hosanna, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Talking about what wonderful things and how he was greeted, but then as the week would go on, things would change. On Thursday, having that last communion service there, and how God, in his wisdom, was trying to prepare people for what was going to happen. For the Friday, the saddest day for that crucifixion. But then, as Matt did allude to, Sunday's coming. It was on Friday where they stripes upon his back on Friday. But trust me, Sunday's coming. And on Sunday, that glorious morning, going to that tomb, rolling the stone away to signify, to represent, to celebrate a risen Savior. Amen. Amen. Some years ago, I watched a program, and I love, you know, watching channels that have now we have the History Channel, National Geographic, we have all kind of different Discovery Channels, all that. And I watched a show about cars and how they were testing cars. And, you know, you've seen it before, you've seen the items, the little film clips where they have inside that car, which has all kind of sensors and everything attached to what? A crash dummy. You ever seen one? You know what I'm talking about? And they went through the accident and all this information, and have been so important on how they've developed airbags and different safety features on cars. And the person inside running this, he said a kind of unique statement. It's always stuck with me. He says, you know, you can learn a lot from a dummy. I'm so glad you didn't say amen, Mommy. So there you go. You can learn a lot from a dummy. And today, if I was going to give a title to a sermon, I'm going to tell you this morning that you can learn a lot from a donkey. Now, Rick's shaking his head over there because he's got one. He's got one at the farm. You can learn a lot from a donkey. 11th chapter in the book of Mark. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem, to Bethpage, to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you've entered, you will find a colt. That small young donkey, a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. I guess that's code for go steal a donkey. I guess that's what kind of code. I don't know. It didn't seem like it would work in my mind, but trust me, it worked. And the fourth verse reads, so they went on their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street. And they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosening the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it. And he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word. And just for a few moments, God, open our minds and hearts to receive that truth. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people, amen, amen, amen. The scene had been set. Jesus knew what was coming. He spent the time on the way to Jerusalem to try to get his disciples to understand that he was coming. Not as what the people wanted. The people wanted a king who would come and deliver them from their captor. But no, Jesus was going to come. He was going to come and deliver the people from their sins. Amen. Amen. So many times I've read this, and each Palm Sunday we preached and shared this story. And I thought just this morning we'd look at something just a little bit different, just a little bit different. On Friday night here at the concert, I was so moved when the tenor, Scott, he shared and sang a little song called Little As Much When God Is In It, Little As Much. And there were smiles and there was laughter, but there was also tears because, as you and I know, little as much when God is in it. Real quickly, I want to tell you that God made us just the same way that God made that little young colt, that donkey who would be used. He made us, secondly, with a purpose. And thirdly, he made us for his glory. Now, I want to tell you, this donkey, it was given of God. Jesus told the disciples exactly where to go and what to look for. And the story turned out exactly like he said. And because they followed what Jesus told them to do, this colt was able to be brought in, placing their clothes upon it. And Jesus rode in, not as a conqueror. A conqueror would have rode in on the biggest horse he could find. No. Jesus walked in, very humble, very caring. This week, later in the week, I was starting to think, and I'm saying, man, I'm a little tired. I'm fighting these allergies, whatever. Everything's blooming. And then I started in my mind to kind of add up what had gone on and transpired, what I'd done during the week. And from last Sunday, and I know on Monday night, I had a board meeting at the association over there, and I explained to them, I'm so happy. This is my final board meeting when I'm with you, because even part-time, I'm only doing it till the end of the year, and then it's all yours. Amen, amen. That's just me. Amen. Okay, like that. You want to be part of it? And then later on, I got to watch that night the basketball game, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt, I knew exactly where Earl was. Rose said she went to sleep at halftime. I said, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. And then even yesterday down in Charlottesville, they were celebrating that wonderful win by Virginia. This is a sports week. For those you may not know, they're playing in the NBA. The Capitals, I believe, are 2-0 because they won in overtime yesterday. Oh, yeah, the Caps did good over there. The Nationals won yesterday. The Orioles, the guy they're paying all those millions to, finally got a couple of hits over there. All these wonderful sports stories are happening. And in case you didn't know it, in case you caught me looking at my cell phone before the service starts, today is Masters Sunday. Anybody heard of that? Yeah. I don't have a green jacket. I wore a green shirt. But I did wear my little master's tie over here, represent that, and yeah. I've always been a sports fan. I think so many things in sports equates to so many of the principles that we've been taught in this word. So proud of a nephew that every time, and I know last week I got the, he pitched good. Every time he does, I go, yep. I've always been a sports fan. And this year just seems like more than any other time. I've been so glued in on this week, and I was watching some of the March Madness, and I'd gone up to visit Mom, and we got a little paper over there, the Stanton Leader, I believe it is, and had an article in there, and it had a little interview with a coach of Virginia basketball. His name is Tony Bennett. You probably never heard that. I left my heart. Not the same Tony Bennett. Not the same one. But I'd heard him on an interview, and in this newspaper article they were talking about, and he was talking not so much about how great they're going to be and what they're going to do and all these things. He said he was so proud because in their basketball program they have five pillars. And I want to read those five pillars to you today. The five pillars that they stand by, and he says, he hopes that every young fellow that comes through that program buys into what they believe. Number one is passion. Number two is unity. Number three is servanthood. Number four is humility. And number five is thankfulness. Passion, unity, servanthood, humility, and thankfulness. Now, they went on Monday night to win the game, the national championships. And even in the interview after, I heard, he says, when he talked to the players, he said, guys, just stay humble. Just stay humble. And the more I go back to this in my mind, and the more I'd read it, I would think about what God has given us here at Mount Calvary. He's given us passion. He has given us passion in what we believe in. Friday night here we're singing, and we sang some songs beforehand. We tried to do the best we can and all like that. And Hattie come to me, she says, you know, some people commented that we really sounded like we were together. Bob Heim tells me, he says, boy, you guys sure sound better with Hattie singing with you. Right, Bob? Yeah, that's Bob back there. You sure sound better. And I'm like, I tell you what, when you start out as bad as we did, and you start to improve, it makes a difference, doesn't it? But the thing we have most of all is we have a passion for singing songs about the Lord Jesus Christ. A passion. Unity within this church, trust me, it's unbelievable. How many ever been around a church where they've had a split, they've had a fight, they've had all kind of things going on like that? Yeah, come on, yeah, you know what I'm talking about like that? Church people can be the meanest, most ornery, stab you in the back snakes I have ever heard in my life, and I'll hear an amen out of somebody out there. Calm down, Mom. Just calm down right there. But I'm here to tell you, we'll have our disagreements. Some people I don't speak to because I can't get coffee in my office, but I'll get over it. When we had to choose the color of the pews here, oh, it was such an uproar here. We decided that we would pick the color. And we would say that Janet Robertson is the one to pick this color. Because she was down in South Carolina and hadn't heard a thing about it. So when she walked in, everybody said, oh, I'm glad you picked that good color. And the people didn't like the color. Well, that's Janet. I guess she's colorblind, you know. Folks, you want unity in a church? You find passion. And then you find people with a need. Because I'm here to tell you, when there is a need at Mount Calvary, when someone is hurting inside, When someone is going through something they just can't find an answer to, they don't know how they're going to make it through without the love of God, you will see a church in unity just lift those individuals up in prayer. And I've seen it here at Mount Calvary time and time again. Servanthood. It's a quality within a Christian that is, I believe, most important. You were called to serve. You're not called to just take up space and eat your ham and all the other meals that you'll have in front of you. No, you were called with a purpose to serve. And serving others, I believe you find the heart of what God wants for you. Humility. The humility that that basketball team and those players had in those interviews afterwards just reminded me of the humility that Jesus decided to ride upon that small little donkey. And finally, thankfulness. If you have a people that are coming to God's house, that are celebrating, especially this week, especially this Holy Week, as we celebrate Palm Sunday today, as we think about Monday, Thursday, when we think about Good Friday, and we think about the celebration that we will have next Sunday, celebrating a risen Savior, there's one thing that should permeate your heart and your mind and your soul. I am thankful that I am simply a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Amen. I wrote this down. When we start walking closer to God, we are in perfect harmony with all that He has in store for us, you and I. We may even know where our donkeys may be. He's going to tell us. I believe that. Now, folks, this is an exciting week. It's a time to share the love of God. I know that some people may, well, I'm a little shy about sharing the love of God. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You're not shy about coming to His house and talking. Ooh, my goodness. I encourage you. This is a great week to share what He's done for you. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we've gathered in Your house. And God, we came to celebrate. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. So God, we just ask now that You challenge each one of us in our heart of hearts to be thankful that You sent Your Son to die upon a cross for our sins. We thank so much for You for sending that Son, not coming to this world to condemn it, but through Him we might have this everlasting life. So God, allow us to just share with those who are in such need, those who are just looking and searching, the love that You've given us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for each one that took part in the service today, for all the smiles, all the warmth that we felt in Your house. God, we just ask now that You give us safe traveling mercies, and be Your will, bring us back again to sing praises unto Your name. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said amen, amen. All hearts clear today? Amen, amen.